He went down in the history books as one of the craziest emperors of ancient Rome. After his father died, his mother, said to be one of the most beautiful and wealthiest women in Rome, married her uncle, Emperor Claudius. When a son from Claudius's failed third marriage was said to be emperor ahead of him, his mother killed his adopted father and made him emperor. In the first 5 years of his reign, he poisoned his mother and later exiled his wife. Obsessed with greed, indulgence, and power, he considered himself the savior of the world. When the great fire of Rome broke out, he blamed the Christian community and made them the scapegoat. According to the Roman historian Tacitus, the Christians were covered in wild animal skins and devoured by dogs. They were convicted of hating the whole human race and turned into human torches. This is Nero, the emperor during the first major Christian persecution. According to church tradition, the apostles Peter and Paul were executed via crucifixion and beheading. Now let's cut to the chase. If you were a Christian in the congregation at Rome, would you really think you're winning? The competition seems too intense. He went down in the history books as a tyrant who ended his reign in terror. The accusations of treason against members of the Roman Senate were relentless. He didn't even back down from his own family, to the point that his wife feared for her life because of rumors she was sympathetic towards Christianity. He expelled Christians from Rome and enforced emperor worship. According to the Roman historian Suetonius, he arrogantly demanded people address him as Dominus et Deus, Master and God. According to church tradition, this is the time the last remaining apostle, John, was exiled to the island of Patmos off the coast of Turkey near the city of Ephesus. This is Domitian, the emperor during the second major Christian persecution. Now let's cut to the chase. If you were a Christian in the congregation at Ephesus, would you really think you're winning? The competition seems too intense. And this is the first two of the 10 major Christian persecutions in Rome. To see that persecution is still alive and well in our world today, just think of Christian missionaries in North Korea, or Christians in Nigeria killed in their own churches by Boko Haram. Now, thankfully, we in America don't live under persecution like that. Certainly. But random church shootings still pop up in South Carolina and Texas. Yet it seems the devil is still having his way today. The patience for Christians who openly promote their closed-minded, intellectually regressive, crazy views in the public sector is starting to wear thin. The willingness of people to openly and actively get involved in a congregation compared to just a generation ago seems few and far between. Now let's cut to the chase. If you are a Christian in a congregation in Ann Arbor, do you really think you're winning? the competition seems too intense. That's exactly why we needed the second lesson from Revelation 20. It peels back the curtain of the end times and reassures us Christ crushes the competition. Revelation is often considered to be one of the most difficult books of the Bible to read. It's apocalyptic literature that features dramatic scenes of the end times and visions of this epic conflict between Jesus and the devil. In this seventh and final vision, on the last pages of the Bible, at the very end of Genesis, it refers back to many themes from the opening pages of the Bible in the first few chapters of Genesis. It all comes full circle. Very likely written to Christians during that second wave of persecution under Domitian, as the Apostle John is exiled on Patmos, this striking language is exactly what they needed here. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil, or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Earlier in Revelation, Jesus himself said he holds the key to death and Hades, so this angel is Christ himself who binds the devil for 1,000 years. Not only is Revelation often considered confusing to understand, but that 1,000-year period makes this chapter, chapter 20, arguably the most debated chapter of all of Revelation. Various forms of millennialism called pre- and post-millennialism teach that Jesus will institute a physical earthly kingdom either before or after he returns for an actual 1,000 years. Some supporters of millennialism believe the first resurrection here points to a time when Jesus will raise believers in a separate resurrection before everyone else, and then they will reign with Christ for that 1,000-year period. Based on some Old Testament passages, they believe this earthly kingdom will be in Israel, and specifically in Jerusalem. Several factors show the 1,000-year period cannot refer to an actual 1,000-year period of a physical kingdom of Christ here on earth. Even supporters of millennialism don't believe that Satan is an actual literal dragon, or that Jesus holds a literal key from a locksmith, or will bind the devil with a literal metal chain. John does not see the resurrected bodies of believers reigning on their thrones, but their souls. Elsewhere in his gospel, John uses the term life in two different senses. First, coming to faith in Jesus, and then secondly, resurrection to life on the last day. So this first resurrection does not refer to a time when Jesus will raise believers separate from everyone else, but to their coming to faith in Jesus. The whole context of Revelation uses picture language in these dramatic scenes and visions, and uses symbolism, especially with numbers. 1,000 years is 10, the number of completion, to the third power, the number of God. Simply put, this 1,000-year period is an indefinite period of time, a complete period that only God knows. The entire New Testament age, from Jesus' first coming until his second. Jesus was very clear before Pilate, his kingdom is not of this world. Rather, his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom in our hearts through faith. So who is actually reigning during this 1,000-year period? The answer will surprise you. Blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. John's vision is not of Jesus on his throne reigning, but of believers reigning on their thrones with Jesus. In all of the theological complexity of Revelation 20, don't miss the key simple point. The devil is bound and doomed. You're going to reign with Jesus. Christ crushes the competition. With foot-high grass filled with dandelions, the rusty iron chain-link fence separates the rundown house from the rest of the neighborhood. A few steps past the creaky, rusty gate reveals the red and black sign tacked to the front porch that's cluttered and dirty. Warning, beware of dog. Within a few seconds, a drooling, ferocious, teeth-bearing pit bull comes barreling off the side of the house, and his bark echoes down the street. It's scary to look right in the eyes of a ferocious pit bull as it wants to jump on you and take you down. All you want to do is turn around, run away, and admit defeat. Ever since the devil made an appearance in the opening pages of the Bible as that devious serpent, your enemy, the devil, has been prowling around looking for someone to devour. All of the perfection of Eden, gone. All because our first parents brought sin's destruction into our world for good. Turn around. Run away. You're losing, the devil says through his barbed teeth. All your loved ones, they die. You can't be with them anymore. All because death is now a part of our broken, sin-filled world. Turn around. Run away. I'm winning, the devil says through his barbed teeth. The time when interested people simply showed up at church all by themselves. Gone. Church work these days is just too hard. Why don't you just sit in your corner, hunker down, and wait for Jesus to come back? Because that's the best the church can do. Turn around. Run away. I'm winning, the devil says through his barbed teeth. All he wants to do is convince you you're losing. The spiritual competition is just too intense. Where does all of this lead? Of course, it leads us to the despair that the church in the 21st century just has too difficult of a task before us. We might as just cower in a corner. But that's not all. It leads to our idolatrous admission. Well, if we're losing and the devil is winning, that means you, Jesus, have lost too. The That is why we need revelation. Feet before the devil wants to jump on you and take you down his chain, yanks him back, and he cannot touch you. The devil is bound and chained, and he can go no further than what Jesus allows him. That deceiving serpent filled with all of his lies is no match for Jesus. What binds the devil and prevents his advance is the spread of the gospel, because it announces the seed of the woman who will crush the head of Satan. He is no match for our Savior Jesus. There on the cross, Christ did not suffer defeat. He did not lose. No, he triumphantly announced, "It is finished," as he stomped on the head of the serpent and sealed his fate. Because of that, the devil has no more power over you. Still today, every time the gospel is proclaimed within these walls, every time we support the spread of the gospel through our Synod's mission work in places like Zambia and Hong Kong, every time someone new in our neighborhood hears about the unconditional gospel and God's grace, in Bible 101, Christ crushes the competition. Revelation, with all of its striking visions and picturesque language, completely changes your perspective of the church today. Through this book, see those early Christians who suffered persecution and martyrdom during the reign of Domitian, standing on their thrones, reigning with Jesus. Through this book, see the Christians who died in the faith in this very congregation. Doris Bowman, Norm Horn, John Burt, and Ruth Stoll, reigning on their throne with Jesus. Revelation changes pessimism and defeat to confidence and victory. One of my professors told us a story about a pastor who was walking down the hallways of his church and ran into the church janitor. He was really surprised to see him opened up to the book of Revelation, and he asked, "Why are you reading Revelation when it's such a hard book?" "I'm surprised to hear you say that," the janitor told his pastor. "I thought it was an easy book." Racking his mind around all of the difficult interpretive and theological issues in the book of Revelation, he couldn't help but ask, "Well, if it's such an easy book, why don't you tell me what it's about?" Jesus will win. Yes, Revelation really isn't the first book of the Bible Christians open up to for some nice, light reading. But there is a beauty, a very simple beauty, to its apocalyptic literature in the book of Revelation. Its simple message needs to be heard by Christians under Domitian's reign and Christians still today. Christ crushes the competition. He wins. And that means you win too. Amen.